to step back to a couple of weeks ago when we were discussing financial planning and retirement on this program. One panelist, Sena Valladolid of the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Nevada and Utah, said something that really caught our attention. She told us that donations to religious organizations created difficult issues for finance counselors. And here's a little of what she said.
Tithing, that's probably one of the biggest touchy expenses that we have, and rightfully so. One of the things that we find is successful when we ask, because we never dictate, we just ask, is donating and volunteering time to the church instead of giving.
Tithing being the practice of 10%
of their income to the church.
So how are Las Vegans faring when their spiritual leaders ask them to give? Is service valued as cash? Can family budgets already stretched still accommodate that 10% pledge? And if collection plates are lighter than they once were, how has that affected the community services the churches and their charities provide to the community? Well, we thought that was worth talking about, and joining us now to discuss these and other questions, Derek Berry, who is a faith-based financial planner with Balanced Financial Services of Las Vegas. He works with religious institutions on financial planning. Also joining us, Elliot Karp, Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of Nevada. Todd Moody is a stake president with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he joins us on the phone from Lake Tahoe. Pastor Thomas Mata, who is the Development and Marketing Director for Lutheran Social Services of Nevada. And joining us from his home in Jacksonville, Florida, is Jared Bartholomew, founder and director of the website Church Stewardship and Tithing Report, a site critical of tithing practices. Gentlemen, welcome to all of you. It's good to have you here. Derek Berry, if we could start with you. The Barna Group conducted a study of giving and found, and this is a quotation now from the poll, Americans are living on less due to salary reductions, furloughs, loss of jobs, or the inability to get a position that matched a previous salary. These are difficult circumstances and have a legitimate influence on donations. You help faith-based organizations with their financial planning, and you say all denominations are suffering equally. Where do these organizations really suffer? Is it operationally? Is it service programs? Where is the pain really hitting home?
Well, the pain really hitting home is in the service provisions that they give to the community at large, because they can't put out the full services as they once did. Because of the less income that they have coming in from the tithing and the contributions because of the economy.
Now, you've got a difficult role, because you get to tell these organizations what they can and can't do vis-a-vis community programming. So how do they respond when you tell them they've got to cut back? What do they usually say to you?
Well, of course, it's a thing that they don't want to cut back, because they see the good that they do in the community, and they don't want to cut back, and they want people to still continue to come to them to receive that service. But if you don't have the funds, you have to look at it more like a business in that sense, where you have to use what you have.
So how does that conversation go?
Well, it's a difficult one, because you have to tell them, yes, you do have to cut back now on what you do. So let's take the hard look at what we can offer with the funds that we do have.
Yeah. A lot of silence follows that, I imagine.
Of course. So it's a lot of thought goes into it.
Yeah.
But it basically, like when you're running a business, because it's, you know, it is a business, you have to look and make hard decisions sometimes.
Now, some church organizations are in a situation where they're asking church members to increase their donations to support charity work and to support other church members who are in financial difficulty. Does that, in your experience, create tensions within congregations?
Well, it does, because you still have to be able to support your own home even though you're giving. And in a sense, the Bible and the church ask you to be a cheerful giver. So if you can't give and continue to support your own home, you're going to have to give less. So it's not as cheerful anymore to actually give.
Yeah. Tension between leadership and congregations
sometimes.
As well. Sometimes it does seem to be something of a sales pitch along the lines of give till it hurts. You know, it's sort of past cheerful giver and toward that other measure. Is it fair to put pressure on people who may be facing tough times or maybe can't afford to increase their donation?
Well, I would have to say I don't think it is fair. But, you know, the church still has to continue to give those services, and they want to give those services. And then the congregation also wants to give those services also as well. So they say you do have to pinch your belt straps and continue to do what you want to do and give as you can.
Yeah. Is there room for some people to misunderstand that kind of pitch as maybe connecting strong faith to strong donations?
It can be difficult. It can be confusing to those who don't want to accept the concept of tithing, because you also have to accept that and show that, you know, you are supporting, you believe in God, and God is this is a practice that's ordained by God. So where's your faith and your belief?
Yeah. I want to turn now to Todd Moody. Todd Moody, you're the stake president for the LDS Church in Las Vegas. Tithing is an important element of membership in the LDS Church. Church members aren't under any obligation to tithe. And yet, why do Mormons faithfully give 10% of their income to the church?
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me back.
Certainly.
On the program. You're right. Tithing is completely voluntary, and it's been an interesting thing to watch as we're going through such tough times, not just in Southern Nevada, but all of Nevada and the country as a whole. We're seeing unemployment, we're seeing underemployment, we're seeing hardships throughout. And with those job losses, we continue to see people willing to give tithing, a full 10% of their income to the church, to the Lord. And they're also giving, on top of that, generously to a special fund that has been set up to help people who might be struggling with rent, with utilities, and other necessities of life. And it's an amazing thing to watch. You know, obviously, as tough times come, some people are not in the same position to give what they have before. But those who have been blessed through all of this step up, and that has been a blessing to others.
Yeah. Now, there's the concept of tithing goes all the way back to Genesis. There are mentions of this with Abraham and others in that book of the Old Testament. In Malachi, there's this a passage in chapter 3 that says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Todd Moody, how does this passage apply to contributing to a church?
It reminds us that everything we have comes from the Lord. And if we have been blessed with financial means, with temporal things, then we are in a position as a steward to give back and to help others who are less fortunate. And if you continue reading on the verse that you just read, there is a promise that the windows of heaven will open up to those who give. And we see it. We see it all around us.
Yeah. Is there a particular scripture that's key to Mormons in understanding the spiritual significance of the tithe?
You've just identified it.
That's it, Malachi.
It is. You know, we find in the Old Testament both Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek, and then we get this very specific doctrine that comes from Malachi saying, you're robbing God if you don't give. And it's a great commandment because it blesses the one who gives as well as those who receive. And there is this humbling principle that comes to the one who receives, and there's an edification that comes to the one who gives. And both are blessed at the same time.
Elliot Karp, Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of Nevada. Malachi is very important to Mormons. Is this important to Jews as well, who read the Old Testament very carefully?
I mean, clearly, you know, Jews and Judaism have a tremendous belief in the values of what we call tzedakah, loosely translated as charity, although a tremendous distinction, because charity comes from the Latin root caritas, heartfelt, and tzedakah comes from the Hebrew root tzedek, which means justice, righteous, and that the act of performing the mitzvah, the commandment of tzedakah, of giving philanthropy, is something in which we are commanded in order to do justice, in order to do right. The feelings inherent of the donor are really secondary. Now, that's not to say that we as Jews don't believe that one should give cheerfully, but the fact that we do it in order to do that which is just, that which is righteous. And I think that other faiths would also, you know, borrow from that and say that we are doing, therefore, God's work in fulfilling those commandments. But going back to some of the points that you made earlier, you know, and the comments that were made, clearly we're all doing more with less in today's environment. And in that regard, charitable organizations, philanthropic organizations, faith-based are just like any other business. Our people are working harder. earning less. We've downsized our organization by 50% in order to stay lean and pull in our belt straps. But it also has caused us to work more cooperatively, more collaboratively, to seek more partners, to find creative solutions, not only within the Jewish community and our agencies, but outside of the community with other faith-based organizations, other social service agencies. And the last point that you made about giving until it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
See, my perspective is just the opposite. And what I say to donors is you have to give until it hurts, okay? Because until that time, you're truly not giving enough that you are making that kind of sacrifice, because no matter how hard it is for you to give, the people on the other side are hurting even more than you are. And in that regard, the last thing I would like to say is that there's an old Hasidic saying, Hasidim being an ultra-Orthodox sect of Jews that have a lot of tales, folklore tales, that there are two hands involved in the act of tzedakah, of charity, one that gives and one that receives. Be thankful that yours is the hand that gives.
Yeah, it sounds like we're getting into the edge of Moses Maimonides, among many others, he laid out all these different guidelines for what was the most charitable and so on and so forth. So maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later. We'll see how far we get with that. But I now want to turn to Pastor Thomas Mata, who's Development Marketing Director for Lutheran Social Services of Nevada. One of the other classic lines from the Bible is in the New Testament, in Christ's words in Matthew, easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It sounds like wealth seems irrelevant to the kingdom of God.
Not necessarily. I mean, when you're taking a look at, you know, money, I think one of the most misquoted passages in the Bible is that money is the root of all evil. When the truth of the matter is, the way that the passage goes, that it is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is a tool. It is something that can be used for great good. It is something that can be used for great evil. And being able to take and responsibly use this tool to steward the resources that God has entrusted to us is one of the central callings that every Christian shares.
Is Lutheran Social Services of Nevada having to find new partnerships, doing a little bit more with less, as Mr. Karp is outlining with Jewish Federation of Nevada?
Well, it's been absolutely crucial, the way that we've been able to be creative over the course of the last several years, the way that we've done our best to implement, the best business practices that we can, and, to collaborate in the community has really been key to the successes that we've had. You know, in the midst of things, as they've been as difficult as they are, we've been able to show some wonderful expansion and some wonderful successes. For example, it was one of our goals to start a new food distribution program once a month up in Mesquite, Nevada. It was something new for us to expand out of Las Vegas to really be the Lutheran Social Services of Nevada. And the way that we were able to do this was partnering with the Virgin Valley Food Bank there. They have the physical location, the staff, access to volunteers. And we were hoping over the course of, 1 year to be able to distribute 25,000 pounds worth of food to needy people in the area. We haven't even gotten out of the first quarter of the fiscal year, and we've been able to beat that 25,000-pound goal. We've been able to do that through, key partnerships with the Virgin Valley Food Bank and also with Three Square, who was kind enough to be able to contribute significant amounts of food as we bring in our expertise for the processing and so on and so forth in order to make this a reality. So really, when we do work together, even in these difficult times, when it's needed the most, we can make the most impact.
Is that something you could take to a congregation to say, here's what we're doing with the resources at hand? Your gift, if you work to tithe to give some of what you have, will help us to take this even further?
Absolutely. To be able to demonstrate the loaves and fishes effect, if you will, being able to take what we have and, with God's help to multiply it and to have the most efficient impact that it can is, a wonderful message to carry. Being a minister myself, to go into congregations and not just to be able to present, but to be able to get up into the pulpit, to be able to preach and relate this and say, this is our call. This is more than a job. This is our ministry and what we're focused and what we're meant to do has a significant impact, and it's been crucial to our success to be able to relate this in those houses of faith.
We are talking about the concept of tithing and how tithing, that giving of 10% that is a tradition in many religious faiths, is being impacted in a recession such as the one we're living in right now. We are talking with Pastor Thomas Mata, Development and Marketing Director of Lutheran Social Services of Nevada, Elliot Karp, Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of Nevada, Derek Berry, Faith-Based Financial Planner with Balanced Financial Services of Las Vegas, and Todd Moody, Stake President of the Las Vegas Highland Hills Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Todd Moody, the tithe covers the operating costs of the LDS Church, overseas operations, mission management, things like that. But the tithe doesn't serve the social programs that the LDS Church manages. That comes, as I understand it, from further giving, what are called fast offerings, where members fast and contribute the money they save from not eating. I talk about that. Is it difficult to ask members to contribute beyond the tithe when family budgets are as tight as they are now?
It's not difficult. This is a principle that's been taught since the church was established, and it's business as usual as far as that teaching goes. It's not business as usual as far as, you know, how that works with especially people that are struggling. But this is a principle that's based in Christian living, and everything about it is striving to follow the pattern of the Savior Jesus Christ. And we are seeing so many acts of kindness throughout our community and giving. And this is certainly not something that members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have a monopoly on. Yeah. We're watching it throughout our community. And people are giving so that people who are struggling can benefit through that and make it through these difficult times.
Have you run across in recent weeks a good story that illustrates that precept?
Yeah, in fact, this year we celebrate the 75th anniversary of the welfare program in the church, and our church president, Thomas S. Monson, issued a letter back in May, and he said, "I would like to see a day of service throughout our communities, and we'd like you to reach outside. You know, we know all the good that you do within our church. We'd like you to do something outside of that," and that's always been a tenet of our religion, but we're seeing it in the congregations that I oversee. We recently partnered with U.S. Vets, and they purchased an apartment complex, and they're bringing disabled and homeless veterans in. And we were able to go in and decorate and furnish almost 20 apartments for these people who have served our country and who we're so grateful for. And this day of coming together, being together, sharing what we have, giving, stretching, in order to bless the life of someone who is struggling is extremely rewarding. Hmm. And we're seeing that all throughout our community, and we'll continue to see that throughout the rest of the year.
Hmm. Now, LDS members are free to attend church without tithing, as I understand it, but admittance to the temple requires a recommendation that requires regular giving. What happens to a temple member who loses his or her job but can't pay a tithe? Are they still welcome in the temple?
Absolutely. And the beauty of tithing is that it's 10% by definition. And if you're out of work and you have no income, there is no tithing expected of you. As you're blessed and do well and your income increases, then that will be commensurate with that blessing.
We're talking about something that I'm not sure anybody else is talking about these days, which is the whole notion of religious support, charitable giving, in the context of a recession. Tithing. We're talking about tithing with Elliot Karp, who's Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of Nevada, Pastor Thomas Mata, who is Development and Marketing Director at Lutheran Social Services of Nevada, Todd Moody, who is the Stake President of Las Vegas Highland Hills Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Derek Berry, a faith-based financial planner with Balanced Financial Services of Las Vegas. This is something where, if you've got some thoughts about this or some ideas about this, how has tithing impacted you as you and your family, your loved ones, go through the recession? You can join a conversation. Call us at 258-3552, 258-3552. You can also write us online at knprtalk.org. Do you tithe? Have you gone through some tough times and had to give up tithing to your church, your place of religion? Or maybe you still donate to the church despite the tough times. Again, 258-3552 or knprtalk.org. Elliot Karp, if I could turn back to you. Earlier this summer, the Review Journal reported of the problems experienced by Valley Outreach Synagogue in Pnei Tikva. Giving has been reduced. The synagogue's had to delay its search for a new facility. And Rabbi Yoshevet Mintz stated she has a number of congregants who have had to downsize or have lost their homes altogether. You're the director of the Jewish Federation of Las Vegas. Is Rabbi Mintz's story typical of what you're hearing from synagogues across the valley?
Well, I believe that all congregations are experiencing tremendous financial challenges because of the economic recession, and her congregation is no different than many others. I think what it has caused congregations to do specifically is that they stopped looking in terms of a new facility in order to reallocate its resources and realize what's really important. Is it important to find a new building, or is it important to take care of your congregants' needs during these difficult times? And that's what I think congregations, churches, synagogues, temples, social service agencies are all doing. We're trying to meet the emerging needs, the priority needs. Certainly our Jewish Federation has done that, whereas before we may have had more funds available for cultural art programming and other kinds of things. We are putting more into basic human services and needs. So, for instance, with our Jewish Family Service Agency, we allocated over the last 2 years well over $400,000 in emergency financial assistance programs to members of our community, where we were previously not having to invest those kinds of resources. So it's a matter of reallocation.
Mm-hmm. How are Jews asked to give? I mean, this is
it's, often.
touche. We heard the story of Rabbi Mintz's congregation, but the American Jewish story rarely seems to include poverty and homelessness. How do you get the importance of giving to resonate with temples, with congregations over Las Vegas?
I think the reality is that there are needs within the Jewish community that are not readily apparent in good times. There is always poverty within our community, as there is within any other community. Has America been good to many Jews? Absolutely, but there are always those that are in need, those that are living on the edges of society, senior adults, children. Now, of course, obviously, with the economic recession, we're seeing far more people come our way. Those that, as we see it, those who previously had been contributors now are service recipients. And so the tables have turned in many ways. But at the same time, going back to the question that you asked, I think that that gives greater impetus, motivation for those who do contribute. And there's a realization that even though things may be tight and difficult, there are always people who are far worse off than I am. And that I think that that is a powerful motivation for many people. They realize that, that folks need help and assistance, not only in terms of cash contributions and donations, tithing and whatnot, but also in terms of volunteerism and other kinds of voluntary support, like was mentioned before. Days of community service are very familiar. We see a lot of young people now, in part because schools require students to do community service, but because I think out of a true motivation that our young people and their parents see that there's great need out there. Yeah.
And as you say, better to be the hand that gives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Todd is with us from Las Vegas. Todd, thanks for calling. You're on KNPR's State of Nevada.
Well, thanks for having me.
Certainly.
I wanted to take a little comment from President Moody that even though some of us, and in my condition, I've taken a leave of absence in 2010, January, until now to battle cancer, but the small income that we have in our family, my wife still works, it was never an option to not pay tithing. I've been blessed because I'm still here and we're able to provide for our family adequately. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was never an option to not pay tithing.
Yeah. Todd, why is it important to you to tithe? What does it give back to you? What do you receive from that giving?
Well, like President Moody said again, the windows of heaven have been opened to me. It's been blessed.
Yeah.
Even though I've been going through this pretty tough time, it's not just me. It's my wife, my children, excuse me, that have been blessed by members of our congregation, members of our community, our neighbors, people that aren't members have helped us out in ways that I could never, ever repay them.
Yeah. Todd, thank you so much for calling. Great to hear from you. Courtney is next. Courtney is in Las Vegas. Courtney, thank you for calling. You're on KNPR, State of Nevada.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to sort of chime in and give a little bit of our background. My family and I attend The Crossing, and My husband has been unemployed for 5 months. He worked in construction management, and obviously there's some issues in that part of the economy in our city. But even though we are, you know, making do with what we saved and then obviously unemployment, we still give 10% of, you know, any income that we receive, mostly because we really know that it's not our money to begin with. It's God's money, and we're just holding it for him. Mm-hmm. So if he asks for that 10% back, we know that by doing that service and following that, that good things will come for our family in turn.
Yes.
And I think it's really great that you are taking time to talk about this, because the whole economic downturn has really, I think, changed, especially among believers, changed the way that they look at money. And, you know, we tithe first, we save second, and then we spend what's left. Mm. When so many people spend what they have, save if anything's left over, and then give.
Yeah. Courtney, how has this recession changed the way you and your husband look at money?
Completely. Our church really believes in getting all of its congregants financially secure and financially safe. They sponsor Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and we took that class, and we've been able to become debt-free. We've made a focus to get out of debt and to really follow the biblical directions on money, because the Bible talks about money more than it – Jesus talks about money more than he talks about pretty much anything else. And we are learning to do with less and learning to be joyful with less, and to know that when we save and when we give, we're planning for tomorrow so that we can really live tomorrow while we're sacrificing today.
Right. Courtney, thank you very much. I really appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you.
We'll turn now to Mark, who's in Las Vegas. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on KNPR State of Nevada.
Yes, good morning. Thanks good morning. For having me on.
Certainly.
I just wanted to comment and basically echo what Courtney had just said, that, you know, tithing is really, it's a response to the blessings that God has for us. And, you know, even though we've lost a house and our hours have been reduced, we still continue to tithe. It's about being a cheerful giver and continuing to do, you know, what's asked of us biblically. I think that it's an important part of our faith, and you know, we've been blessed, even though we've lost the house and by becoming debt free, and we're really on the road to recovery, and I think that that's a blessing in itself.
Mark, have you and your family ever reached a point where you thought maybe if we could set the tithe aside for a little while, this is going to help us to close the gap on many things, and just been tempted to sort of put it on hold for a while?
You know, at one point, I think at the beginning of my faith, I think that might have been an issue, but it has never crossed my mind since, because it's really investing in our future, down the road, rather than on this earth. So it's really it's building treasures in heaven, so to speak.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's not about here. It's about taking care of the people around us and loving God and doing our part. But again, it's not about things that we do. I think that gets lost, with a lot of faiths. It's not how much good you can do on this earth. It's really about serving God first, loving others, and then tithing and just being a good servant.
Yeah. Mark, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your getting in touch with us. If you want to join our conversation, you can reach us at 258-3552. If you want to tell us your story online, we've heard from a lot of people who've written us at knprtalk.org. We've heard from people saying they tithe no matter what the recession's done to them. Well, have you given up tithing? Have you had to set it aside for a while? You can call and tell us about that as well. What led you to decide you needed to do that? Do you want to tithe but find yourself unable to do so? Reach us at 258-3552 or knprtalk.org. Pastor Thomas Mata, Lutheran Social Services is offering a supportive housing service for families. It's clean furnished housing units designed to keep families intact and off the streets, as they describe it. This recession's been a little unusual because the housing crisis, foreclosures and being underwater and such, has touched off a lot of our economic instability. Has that facet of our current story in this recession made the notion of tithing or giving perhaps more compelling, that there are homes at stake with this and it's not just people who are running a little low on money?
When you have the level of need that we see and when it is so universal as it has been, I mean, I don't know anyone that hasn't been touched by the economic condition in some way, shape, or form. And because people, you know, are able to see this, because people are able to relate to this, more often than not, they have a personal connection to it, it most certainly has had an impact in people reaching out. While we may have seen circumstances where, you know, individual people are giving less, we've seen more and more people stepping up in order to give and in order to support our organization. And when they hear the stories and then they see the impact that we're able to do through our supportive housing program, you know, we have three apartment buildings that are specifically for homeless families with minor children, and that we're able to help them for longer periods of time, you know, 12 months, 16 months in ranges like that, that's something that really resonates with them. When we're able to say that in addition to that, we have a rental assistance program that grew tremendously in the last fiscal year. We went from helping 175 people to over 1,000 people with almost $1 million worth of aid. This is the kind of thing that, you know, people see. They realize that, you know, we are who we say we are. We're doing what we see needs to be done and what we all agree needs to be done. And they do want to pay it forward.
One other question I want to ask Elliot Karp and President Todd Moody, which has to do with both the LDS Church and Jewish tradition. A lot of the giving often has to do with very strong support, in the case of Judaism, strong support for Israel. And in the case of Latter-day Saints, support for things like mission work in other countries. I guess, Todd Moody, let me start with you. Does that mission work and the notion that a lot of this tithing may support mission work elsewhere, not necessarily at home, make it any more difficult to make the appeal that ideally members of the LDS Church are tithing?
Actually, Dave, missionaries are asked to support themselves when they can. And if they can't support themselves, they turn to family. And in some situations where the missionary himself or herself can't do it, family can't do it, then other church members will step in and do it. That does not come from tithing funds of the church.
But it is an extra level of giving, it sounds like.
It is an extra level of giving. It's also a secondary opportunity to give when families can't do it themselves. And just another reward. Can I just say how heartwarming these stories of Todd and Courtney and Mark are. I mean, you're talking about a family who's battled cancer, people losing homes. These are stories that are echoed thousands of times throughout our communities, and we see people saying, we continue to give despite these very difficult times, and we are seeing the blessings as the result of that. That, to me, is the witness, the testimony of the promise that Malachi made that the windows of heaven would open up to those who would give.
Yeah. Elliot Karp, is it difficult if you hear the old saw, the charity begins at home, is it difficult to convince Jews to give when it's support for Israel as opposed to support for those who live just around us?
Well similarly to what Todd said, these stories are very moving, and the last comment, you know, Maimonides himself instructs, very interestingly enough, that one who is a recipient of charity is obligated to give charity. And think about that for a moment. And I think that gets borne out in these comments, that as difficult as times are, as much as people are hurting, people are also giving back, even if they are being helped by our agencies and our organizations at the same time. In answer to your question, look, you know, my belief is, and I think it's shared by many, the Jewish community is a global Jewish community. We're a global Jewish family. So in that response, when you say, does charity begin at home, clearly Jews in need around the world are part of that extended global family. And for me, it's a matter of how do I differentiate in taking care of a senior adult here or a senior adult living in the former Soviet Union or a senior adult that's living in poverty in Israel. We're all one family, and therefore that responsibility of home is a global home. Having said that, there is a practical and a very pragmatic approach that says, yes, my home where I live, where I am domiciled, does take priority. And in fact, we are, you know, focusing much more attention today on local needs than perhaps around the world, but we're not neglecting them. And there are some donors who are very motivated by taking care of local needs within Las Vegas, the Southern Nevada, that are contributing to the Jewish Federation. But there are also those that say, you know, as much as it's important to support what's going on here in Las Vegas, I do care about the elderly in the former Soviet Union or in Israel, and I'm going to, you know, contribute my funds to those programs.
Derek Berry, I want to ask you just a question about the economy. The odds that a lot of economists are giving that we will have a double-dip recession seem to be slowly rising. A lot of economists are saying it's close to a 50-50 proposition that we'll have a double dip. If that should come to pass, in your role as a faith-based financial planner, do you anticipate that more houses of worship are going to run into serious trouble themselves?
It's a possibility, but as the conversation has been going, there are those out there who can step up even further that maybe have savings back there that, you know, they haven't touched before. And when organizations show their impact, people tend to give more. So you may see, you know, there's those that will lose their jobs and things like that and won't be able to give. But when you form your partnerships and talk about and show your vision and share what you're doing and show the community at large what you're doing, more income can come in from other places.
But, you know, I guess the skeptics among us would say, where's that money going to come from? If the double dip does, in fact, arrive, that second wave hits and knocks more of us down, where does that money come from?
Well, that's the key. I can't tell you that. I can't answer that question. I can't answer you why Jesus fed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread either. But there's those funds that are out there. People are actually hoarding, we'll say hoarding, but saving their money for the hard times. And when they see that they're giving to something that is making an impact in the community or the world at large, they tend to give. And so, like I said, there will be those who won't be able to because they may lose their job or their homes. And we feel for those folks, and we have opportunities to give to those. So, you know, that's how it may happen.
Yeah. Elliot Karp?
I think, you know, those of us that are involved in community service and philanthropy always view the glass as being half full rather than half empty. And we tend to be optimistic, not pessimistic. Now, having said that, I think that we are facing some very difficult times, and it is becoming increasingly more difficult. And you're going to see consolidations in some cases, closures potentially of charitable organizations and consolidations. That's going to be a reality. But I think that that also forces the nonprofit community, the charitable community, to work closer together, become more efficient and effective. And I think, as has been said, when you can articulate that vision and the commitment and the needs, we will be successful. So I'm trying to temper a little bit of concern, not calling it pessimism, but I also don't want to be overly optimistic. I think that we also have to be very realistic with our donors and say we are tightening our belts. We are being responsible.
We are talking about tithing, and tithing in a very tough economic time. If you would like to join our conversation, you can reach us at 258-3552. Tell us, are you tithing? Are you not tithing? Have you thought about that and made that decision one way or another? Tell us a little bit about why. 258-3552 or knprtalk.org. Joining us now is Jared Bartholomew. Jared Bartholomew is based in Jacksonville, Florida, which is where he is today. He's the founder and director of a website called Church Stewardship and Tithing Report. It's a site critical of tithing practices. Jared Bartholomew, you've come down as critical of tithing. Tell us a little bit about why. Churches offer faith, salvation, camaraderie, community. Shouldn't they ask for some support or compensation in the form of tithing?
Right. We have nothing against sacrificial charitable giving. We believe that there are causes and reasons that people should give, whether for the religious or personal reasons. We have nothing against that. More or less, we have some issues against the obligation, the pressure that is put on the people to actually give a set amount of 10% first and above and beyond even their own needs and their family's needs in order to fulfill just an obligation that the leadership feels is either a religious in their religion based on the scripture or any other type of law.
And yet we're hearing from callers who are saying they've got no problem with the notion of tithing, given even their own difficult financial circumstances and circumstances of health.
Right. That we believe giving is kind of a personal matter. Mm-hmm. If you decide that in your heart that you wish to give 10%, then by all means. But I think before anyone gives away their 10%, they need to first figure out their other obligations as well. There's other obligations than besides giving. I don't know of any religion that just states that giving is the only obligation they have. I mean, there's obligations stated in every religion that says you have obligations to your debtors, to your debt. And so we cannot forego those things as well in order just to give 10% to a church or a religious organization.
Yeah, you have said on your website that tithing is easy. Using like this for sissies, the word on the site, because it allows people to give without having to deal directly with the recipients. Say a little more about this, if you would. Do people prefer tithing because it is an easier, perhaps even less direct way of giving?
I guess an example we can explain is, if I'm sure we've all watched on TV and we've seen that starving child, or we've dealt directly with someone who looks indigent and looks really helpless, and to us personally, that's uncomfortable. We don't want to confront that personally. So the easiest thing for us to do is kind of hand that check over to a nice, reputable organization without us having to personally interact with friends, family, or people that we don't know, that we would be uncomfortable with.
Yeah. So what do you think a person should do if he or she wants to make a difference? Is there an alternative
to tithing? I think it is up to a personal matter between you and whatever your faith is. I think that you should give sacrificially, liberally, based on your amount of income. I do not think that you should be getting into debt in order to give. You've got to be smart with it, not necessarily just, sacrificial.
Yeah. Pastor Thomas Mata, when you're hearing this line of thinking from Jared Bartholomew, what's your take on that?
Well, it's what I think that really plays into it is it's a matter of wisdom, that God wants us to live a balanced life, and we're called to be a blessing as we are blessed. And being a sacrificial giver and being a joyous giver, you know, one should also be a wise giver. You know, we have many obligations that we're called to. We're called to take care of our community, but we're also called to take care of our family and to live a good and a solid and a balanced life. And when people come to me and ask me questions like this, that's the advice that I give them. You know, be wise, you know, pray and look at things from as balanced of a perspective as you can, as sincere of a perspective as you can, and then do your best to make the right call.
Okay. Ultimately, make a case, if you would, if you could do it in a couple sentences or so, make a case for tithing, how it serves the Las Vegas Valley. What's the ultimate benefit?
Together we can do so much more than we're able to do alone. And to be a community, you know, to stand together in the face of so many of the difficulties that are out there is really what defines us as people. And to be able to come together as a community, to be able to stand together and to reach out to the least and the last and the lost and the lonely, it's remembering these people that defines us as who we are.
Pastor Thomas Mata is Development and Marketing Director for Lutheran Social Services of Nevada. Elliot Karp is Executive Director of the Jewish Federation of Nevada. We're joined by Jared Bartholomew, Founder and Director of the website Church Stewardship and Tithing Report. He joined us from his home in Jacksonville, Florida. Derek Vary is a faith-based financial planner with Balanced Financial Services of Las Vegas. And Todd Moody is the President of the Las Vegas Highland Hills Stake of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Gentlemen, thank you all for being here. It's been a great conversation, and it's been
We'll do it again soon.
Thank you so much.
Great program. Anytime.